She opened his door, all happy, excited, and the first night, who came in? Dun, dun, the mafia people.
Welcome to Italy Inside Out. I'm your host, Andrea Aldridge. The Veneto region of Italy is located in the northeastern portion of the Italian peninsula. The landscapes of the region are rich and varied and stretch from the Dolomite Mountains to the Adriatic Sea. Although it is best known for its capital city, Venice, there are many other fascinating and beautiful places to visit, including Padova, Verona, and Vicenza, where my guest today grew up. Vicenza's beginnings can be traced to the 2nd century as a Roman community, and it is the birthplace of the 16th century Renaissance architect Andrea Palladio, who designed many of the buildings in the town and the beautiful villas in the countryside nearby. In fact, Vicenza is widely known as La Città di Palladio. During this episode, my friend Marzia Caputo will tell us more about her town of Vicenza and the region of the Veneto and share some stories about her life in Italy. I met Marzia when I was doing a small segment on the Northwest Italian radio show, and she was the new co-host. Hi, Marzia. Thanks for joining me today.
Ciao, buongiorno. Hi, Andrea. I'm so glad to be here.
It's really happy getting to see you again. It's been a while, and especially during this COVID time. Yeah. So yes. Can you tell me a little bit about your background? I know you're born in Vicenza, and tell me about that and your life there.
My background is like this. My mom is from down south, Calabria, Cosenza, and my father is from Vicenza. So I grew up both places. I did a little bit, a couple of years in down south, and then the rest of my growing up in Vicenza. Beautiful, two different regions, beautiful. So I was blessed to travel a lot for that reason too, to go down south and north. Vicenza, like I say, Andrea, I'm not going to give you a history lesson, but because it's an amazing city, Vicenza, and anyone can go to YouTube and look for it, because what I would like to give you is a highlight of the unique things about Vicenza and make you desperate to go there to check it out. That's what I want to do today.
Okay, well, you go for it.
So, you know, Vicenza is right, let's explain to people, it's near 20 minutes from Padova and Verona and Venice too. I'm right in the middle, okay? It's really north of there. It's beautiful. We all know about Andrea Palladio, the best architect that we have. I mean, really, he did a lot of things because Veneto, the region of Vicenza, have a lot, ville. Palladium Ville. That's it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So don't worry about correct me, Andrea. Just go for it.
I will, but Villa is right, yes.
Because when I get really passionate about this, automatically I will go speak in Italian. So you gotta be on top of me. Hey, whoa. So that's it. And all those villa, the famous villa we have, La Rotonda, is my favorite one, if I would talk about it. It's the huge one right on top of the hill. You can see all Vicenza. They have a wine, winery, land. How they built it, that if I remember right, Thomas Jefferson, he built a ply, look like exactly like La Rotonda. He built more than one about like Andrea Palladio, because he read his book and he loved his way of architect, how he built everything. And I know we have in the States. So guys, if you want to go see a copy of La Rotonda, it's, Monticello, Virginia, right? Just go check it out. If you don't have to go in Italy, you can go check it out. That is look like that. So we have that one. What else we have? Oh my gosh, Monteberico. Monteberico is the sanctuary. It's the 8th of September. La Madonna, the Mary, all people walking up on these famous stairs, because there used to be right on top of the hills this church. And it's like a small basilica. And you go down the town only with the stairs. And the stairs, there are 190-something step of the stairs. And every time they were going up for go to church to come back down, you know, all time. So now we have the street to go to. But if you see Monteberico, it's right on top of the hill. You can see all those buildings. It's have this plaza. It's beautiful. Guess what? That's where I met my husband.
Really? On the steps?
Well, not a step. Yeah. I'd be like, oh, I cannot go on top anymore. No, no stairs. But right on the plaza of the church, this Plaza Monteberico, it's right, you can see all Vicenza town. I mean, I would recommend that to go check it out. You can see the Palladio. You can see the Basilica. You see everything, you know.
And this sounds plaza, amazing.
Oh, if you see the plaza, it's the meet of all the young people go after club or after eat something. You want to have a nice walk. You meet everybody up there with a car parking, and then do some, you know, talking fun music up there. And that's how we met. I met my husband right there talking. Said, "Oh, sorry."
Was this during a passeggiata?
Yes, passeggiata. I like that one. Yes, so that's beautiful to check it out. One more, let's see. We are famous for the bacala. You ever heard about bacala?
Not too much.
Okay, it's a codfish kind of type. The way how they cook in Venice, it's the Veneto, is traditional bacala. It's really good too. That's something that, you know, we celebrate a lot. Once every month has something, like, oh, Italy, we do have every week a celebration, some saint. But we do like the mushroom, the bacala, the wine, la grappa. That's it come from us. Mm. Asiago cheese is right there. It's my mantra right there.
So when you, when you're in the piazzas, do you go have a spritz?
Oh, that's come from us. Yes. You're a professional to make spritz. You have to come over here. I can make one for you.
Okay.
Yes. It's really, the spritz is something aperitivo. We always do that. In France, is like, you know, Aperol and wine is refreshing for summertime. And even if you go on the beach in Italy, like Sottomarina, Jesolo, we have those the beautiful and so much activity over there. And you stay in the sand, relax. Guess what we have? We have all bar through the beach. You walk there and just eat toast, pane tostato. You know, they have a focaccia. They have spritz. So at the end of the day, you come back home really happy.
Or very sleepy.
Really? So not a lot of places have that. If you go from down south, like I see in Calabria, where my mom came, they don't have that. They have the beach off, they have the wait, I want to say wrong. They have the bar off the beach on the lungomare, where you walk in and you have all those bar. When in the north, we have a ride on the sand. They have a little house that you can go and have ice cream and drink, wine, they have everything.
Very
so that's different.
Mm-hmm. So Marcia, you told me one time it's an activity, I guess you would say, that they have in Vicenza. I think it's that town where they have large chess pieces and out in the piazza.
Yeah. Veneto, Marostica. They call it Marostica.
Oh, okay.
It's 20 minutes from my house. It's really close. So Marostica is really antique. If you go there, the town, when you go in there, it's all by the wall. It's all really close with those wall, huge wall, like a castle things holding, right? And you can see up the hill, same thing. And it looked like a mini Chinese, you know, the wall Chinese, the stairs you go up. It looked like that. You can see the mountain, the stairs around, and the town is inside. So when you go inside a town, the first things you're going to see, there's this piazza. I have to say in Italian, piazza. I cannot say plaza. Okay? So they have this huge chest on the floor. It's all built like real granito, all that color, everything's beautiful. And every other year, September, they still do the tradition of the live chess game. The two castle they are fighting, and to see who's going to marry the daughter and the son, they have to, you know, the knights, They have to fight for that. And they play the chess. So they move the real, you can see come out people dress up full media time. And they'd come out and they move. And it would take almost all day. You sit down, all the people that are around with the table, drinking and eating. Of course, we have aperitif. So we sit down around there and watch the game. And they do that once every other year, I think. They still do. Yeah.
That sounds like fun.
That's unique. I always say that too. A lot of people know about that because, like I say, we don't do too much
advertisement.
Thank you. We don't do that too much. It's really because we still have a lot of people going now with COVID. I don't know this year what's going on. A lot of things probably they cancel or they do a little bit different. You know, now traveling in Italy is a different experience. So wherever you go, you have to have a number. You cannot be more, you know. Mm-hmm. Especially now winter's coming. So I don't want to say something to go and check. After COVID, probably it will come back everything to normal. But anyway, this is fun. I will recommend that one. Marostica is the Bassano. You go close to Bassano, the famous bridge of Bassano, and then you go to see Marostica. I will recommend that. They have a lot of castle around there too when you go. So.
And Vicenza, it's actually one of the towns I've not been to in that area. So I'm relying on your description. Is there a wall? Is it a walled town or not?
In the center. In the center from, outside Vicenza. And when you drive to go in the center, you can see the old wall. The antique wall was all closed. It was the il centro, we call it, right? The center of the Vicenza was all antique, the where it started. So some part fall, you know, they didn't stay up, but you can see some point, the arch and the wall still there. Yes, it was a wall. Like I say, it was Veneto. We were the healthy people. They were the rich people. If you think about it, for Venetian, how succeed it was Venice in that time, a lot of things. So we were the healthy. And then, like I say, when you drive from Padua to go to Vicenza, that's where you can see all those villas. They're all from Andrea Palladio. And you can see them, all those villas. They're unbelievable. You know what I mean? That really, after him, it was Scamozzi. They follow up, start to building, helping change some of the things of Andrea Palladio. But both of them, really two famous people, they did it all. So it's beautiful to drive there and you see those beautiful green tree drive through and you see those mansions, they're huge. And that's, I think, is something that is unique. You don't see too much. Like I say, if everybody tell you something about Veneto, that's what I'm going to say to you. It's about the villa that you're going to see that.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you were a kid or maybe preteen teenager, did you hang out in the Piazza or did you go visit other towns like Verona?
Yes. When I was young, I was lucky because, first summertime, we would travel a lot. My father, it was like not a lot of people from north travel south anywhere. They were a little bit, my time, my generation was like, we sit around there. So we travel a lot, I have to be honest with that. But then winter, when I was younger, we had motorino, the moped. With the moped, I went everywhere. It was my freedom. I went even Padua because I love Padua. They have the antique university there. The first one with the, I try to remember everything. They were the first female over there that she got diploma in,
graduate.
Thank you. So Padua is beautiful too. It's a lot to see. I love more Verona. Because Verona is the town of love, like they say. It's beautiful. And then if you see Verona, they have the mini Colosseum. That's the mini, because from the Rome, it's the mini one, which is still big for me, but it's nice too. I went there a couple of times to see that one too. Before I forget, I used to go to Montecchio. Montecchio is where the real castle of Romeo and Giulietta in Vicenza is. Because everybody thinks Verona, but it was in Montecchio. That's one thing. And there's have a castle they call Castello di Giulietta, and it's a restaurant right now. They fix it like a restaurant. And there is really close to my house too, because it's, where I was living is off Vicenza town center. So you can see right next to the mountain kind of type. So it's right in the road to go down there. And when I'm married my husband, we have an apartment, we have the balcony, and we can see the castle Romeo and Giulietta right there. Mm-hmm. So that was coming the real story of Romeo and Giulietta. Every move Verona, but it was in Montecchio. Uh-huh. So that's not, if you have to see the castle, that's what is the real castle there. Mm-hmm.
Very so interesting. Really,
check that, Montecchio. Remember that.
Montecchio. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll put that in the show notes. And I'll also put, if you would like, I can put your email if anyone wants to get a hold of you. Yes. It's up to you.
I don't mind. Yeah. Yes, it's fine. I give you my email, the one for the radio, so you have it. So the answer to your question, the one place I used to go all the time with my mom, and it was Basilica. It's after school, I remember, instead of go home to do homework, thank God we didn't have a computer at the time, I used to go with a mom and right in the center, in the Piazza dei Signori, and we had this Palladio, this basilica is beautiful. And park my moped and go right on top, which is the big balcony, and sit down right there with my books all in there. And that's what I was doing, my homework. And then and then I come back home when I was done my homework. So that's one thing I remember, is to do that all the time. It was my winter, see the snow coming down from the piazza, the plaza. It was the atmosphere of this antique wall. I always love that. I always love to touch the antique wall, you know what I mean, the feeling. And to be surrounded by that, that's what I think it was, my peace. I could really concentrate. And people were walking, a lot of them, but I could concentrate, do my homework, do my thing, and blessed to live in one place that I think is beautiful. So.
An amazing place to do your homework. Not something we find too often here in the U.S.
Right? Something different. I know.
So tell me more about the love story when you met your husband. And and when did you immigrate to the U.S.? Did you get married in Italy or after you came here?
Yes. My parents, no way they would let me go without getting married in the church. Especially, no way. They were fighting. My mom from South, my father from North. No good idea. Yes. So what happened? I met him, like I say, Monteverico, and we were 18. Near to 19. And that's, we were like with my group of friends. You know, in Italy, we have compagnia. We call it the group of friends that you grow up with. And every night, oh, go have a, see my friends. So you go there. And that's, they were the military. All there making a lot of noise. And we were going there, saying, you guys are making too much noise here, okay? So we were like, quiet, lower down. And that's how I met him. We started joking around. My English was horrible because I study French. So all my words, everything I know in French, I never studied English. So it was like, really? So, but I remember we stay hours to talk to each other with a, look at that. No smartphone, people, no smartphone, but with the dictionary, you know what I mean? The little one to say, just after 20 minutes, say, how you doing? For every words. So people in the car, they were really kissing. We were busy reading. It's pretty pathetic.
I'm sure your parents were happy about that, though.
We were laughing about that. It's still now when we think about it, look what we were doing to talk, to know each other. Because in the end, how much you like a person, you want to speak with him, with that person. That's who you think is really important, right? So that's how we did. We spent a lot of time like that. And then we were together 3 years. And then when he asked me to marry right away, I was like, can I answer you right now? Are you kidding me? My family, my mom, daddy, my father for 10 years before he say yes. Is it 3 years? They're going to shoot me. So I was like, let's wait. And then, of course, after 3 years, he in the army, you got to move. And that's how I say, you know what, I'm going to follow you. And we got married in Italy. So we did all the big church, all the traditional things, eating, a lot of eating. Another funny story I can tell you, that in the north, we have one tradition. The South people, they don't know about this. Every time I tell them to my cousin laugh. They're so funny. So when you get married, you got to hide your kiv or your future house. You got to hide it. Because we have one tradition that your friends will grab your key, and when you come back for your wedding, you will find anything inside. So I did that all to my friends. So my kiwi was hide it and they still made it because we did a lot of things. I mean, I remember I did to my friends, we removed the bedroom and we built a tent in the bedroom. So we did every hour ring the bell. How you doing? We coming for the coffee the first night. So you know what they did to me? They built a wall. So we might right from the entrance of my house. So they put out the plastic to make no damage. And when I got back home with a white dress, they were behind me laughing. And I have to put down the wall. I mean, they built a wall on my door. So with the concrete. So they did that. Then it was cups everywhere with water. No light you can turn it on. So with the dress, you knock down everything. So that's a tradition what they do in the North. When you get married, they do the, you know, celebration, whatever, before you get married. And after, together, your friends, they will make fun.
Make trouble.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So that was fun. But, you know, and then we stayed 1 year in Italy because we got lucky for that. But then we moved in 96. Yeah, 96 in North Carolina. That's when we my first time in the States. So, like, wow. This is America.
So how did that go? How did that go? Was it easy for you or was it very difficult?
I'll be really straight. I was traumatized. It was because, remember, North Carolina, Fayetteville is a military town. Okay. It's nothing compared when you go outside. Mm. It's different. But when you say military town, for me, it's different. Everybody do their own thing. Nobody talk too much. You know what I mean? So I was just like, hey, buongiorno. And nobody. So I want to go to the center. What center? To go to the beach, take me 8 hours. No, why that long? I can go down south 8 hours. Mm. So it was little bit, the cultural, it was really different. Mm. Hard to, you know, my language, because my fault, I didn't speak English, so it was really hard for me to understand it too. I have to learn everything again, like a little child, you know. So it was big different. It's North Carolina, I have to be honest, it was really, make me appreciate it the rest of the years. Of the rest of the states a lot because, you know, it's now it changed probably. At the time I went, it was just really a big base and nothing else. So now we're talking about 96. Maybe now it's good. But the time I went, for me, was not a positive experience, be honest to you.
And so how long have you been in the Northwest?
Oh, gosh, probably 18 years now because my daughter, yes. 18, yeah, a little longer than 18 years. Yeah, we moved to California, you know, different states. But the longer we stay was here because I didn't like it. It's more far away than to go home because, you know, from East Coast, 8 hours, boom, you're home. Mm-hmm. And here you have to cross all the states to go 8 hours again. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I prefer the life different. East Coast, I feel like it's more relaxed. It's people more friendly
here.
I feel like that. Okay. Well, now I don't know. This year is a little crazy. Let's not talk about that. but the difference from East Coast and this, you know, what I mean, if you want to say East Coast, go Virginia is good. Go New York, yeah, more Italian things. But I wasn't there with the army. You don't have a choice when you're leaving. So in Washington State, it was the one place that, oh, I like it. I really do because the town there near, they're not that far. It doesn't take me 8 hours to go to the beach or 8 hours to go to the mountain. You know, it's because I always forget, America is huge. It's so much, it's not that small like in Italy. Everything's there. So that's my mentality. I was having a hard time to find place, things close to me. And here I did find it. It was, you know, I like it. The weather is hard. But coming from north, where it's winter, it's snow, almost all winter, and ice, for me, this is nothing. A better rainy, I can do more than ice. So I prefer the weather.
Well, we're glad you came here. So, so tell me about your introduction to the Northwest Italian radio show and how that began.
Oh, yes. Well, I wasn't looking for it at all. I promise you that. We were in the Italian pastry in Ruston Way, the Dolce Sci, you remember? So that's the one where a lot of Italian people used to meet once a month And that's with I find Tony and David. And I think that Somia, I know everyone, which is true. North and South, we're like more friendly. We're like, yeah, whatever, you know, hi. So I was talking to everyone. Everybody know me. And sometimes I used to organize all those meet for eating together, things like that. Still now, they ask me, Marta, can you do this? Okay, I try to organize something, a picnic or whatever. So everybody know me. And that's, I think, what Tony and David saw me. They say, oh, she's perfect for the radio. And just to kill me, because that's what happened there. I was in the middle with two men always attacking me. You know that, Brenna. I was good. I mean, like, I don't care. I'm really peaceful. I no argument. I'm fun. I like to laugh. So it's all right. I don't keep nothing. I don't take nothing personal. And so it was fun. And that's how they start to ask me, come one time. So, okay, try one time. After one time, it was two, three. And then I end up like, okay, I'm here all the time. And now David is a vacation, we call him. I don't know. He take a break. We try to make him come back. But he have his things to do, which he's doing really good. And he's happy. He's vacation, traveling, and working. So it's good. In his good spot where he like that, good place. And I start to do it just with Tony, just Naya Tony, to do the radio, which I think is fun. You know how Tony it is. He talk a lot. And let him talk. When he need it, he need it. So let him do it. And at the time when it's like, oh, I can say something. let me get in there. I mean, I'm right here like we do it right now, video to video. And you can see me when I have to say something, like make sign with my hands. And it's like, still don't see me. Are you kidding me? Really? So, but it's funny. We joke around. But it's really a blast, because with this radio, I met a lot of people like you, new Italian people that you know, a lot of things. And that's what I like it, because I love to meet new people, you know, and people that love Italy, because I want to hear about that. We have a lot of negative things, a positive, a good people. I like that. Always welcome.
It's a lot of fun. And I'll put the link to the show in the show notes of this episode too. But anything else you want to tell us about? What about the town in Calabria that you're...
Yes, Calabria. I used to go summertime. I did grow up living when I was younger there. And I'll tell you a funny story too. I think it's funny. But my mom, she opened her first hair salon in Calabria. Oh. And she was all happy. She was 17, she was telling me. And that's how what happened. I tell you, she opened the store, all happy, excited, and the first night, who came in? Doom, doom, the mafia people. And they're like, okay, welcome to the neighbor. Now you got to start paying this. So my mom closed everything. You never opened the store. And that's how she ended up in the north. Because I can, if you start it, it will never end. So, and then the north, she met my father. And what happened, she was supposed to come back home, because my grandparents, they were making a marriage arrangement.
For her?
Yes. Calabria at the time was like this. You had no choice. So, and a good story that my girls love to hear it all the time is that she was in the church to get married with this guy. She was crying, everything. And my father walking in and stopped the wedding. And it was like really a movie. I always say that it's a movie. And take her in north. They have to run. And they couldn't stay there after that.
Had she already met your father at that time before she?
Yes. Oh, when she was 17, she left from Cosenza. She went north to open a store for her. And then she opened a store. And after that, after 2 years, I think she had to come back home. And my father didn't ask her to marry her. So I said, I don't know. So I think it's nothing else. I don't know. You know, it was really different that time. Mm-hmm. And that's it. And that's when she came back home. And she find it was all marriage arrangement. Everything's done. It's like she was stuck. She could not get out. All her brother, everybody were like, lock her in. Kind of like, that's it. He couldn't even run away. So, but look at that, what happened. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a good story.
That's a good story. It's amazing how times have changed. I think it's still happening in the South, but not as much. Is that true about arranged marriage? No.
They keep dating young. That's what I'm saying. My cousin, all of them, they were dating already when they're 14 years old. And they're dating really seriously. And they get married. The guy they find really, when they're north, we still like, whoa, we want to finish the school, go to university, push on that, which they do south too, don't get me wrong. But it's more than it's the succeed in down south is like get married. You know what I mean? And get a good family, which sometimes, you know what, it's true. You don't need nothing else. But in the north, it's such a different culture. It's really more modern from down south. You know, still party, people like to. And that's the thing. In Veneto, is we have a huge club, everything. Something in the down south, only in the summertime you have. That's it, have. The restaurant, and they put like a room to play, to listen to music. You know what I mean? So it's a little bit different. But anyway, the summertime there is beautiful in Calabria. They have all this, I mean, the water is clear. Both sides, depending where you go, Calabria down here or the point, or you go the other side with Puglia. It doesn't matter. The water is gorgeous. It's like I say, it's a camp. The camping there, we used to do a lot of camping. And it was so much fun too because it's not camping like here in the States. Camping in Italy is a blast. My daughters always ask me, let's go camping, because they organize everything for the kids. I mean, 8 o'clock in the morning, you camping. I never see my kids. 8 o'clock, they were gone to do all the activity, swimming, shooting gun, water gun, I call it, okay? Cooking, they do soccer game, they do movie night. They do. I didn't see them until evening. They were coming to eat, and they were gone all the time. So camping in Italy is a vacation for parents. All right?
Sounds like it. And for the kids, but for the parents, sounds wonderful. Right. Okay, so you talked about bacala as one of the foods,
right.
That the Veneto is known for. Can you name any other foods that?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I'm looking like salami. We have the soppressa. It's a famous. It's an aged salami things. We have, of course, Asiago, the cheese. And if you go before the mountain, is right there, the famous store Asiago, and they make it big like a Parmigiano kind of type. It's the Asiago age, as all different types of Asiago. There is, if you want to go on vacation, take in Italy, they wrap it to you exactly to take it with you in the States. They know, because a lot of Americans go there. That is one. We have Pinot Grigio. It's one of the home of the Veneto Pinot Grigio. It's the wine we have there. Or Fragolino is the one too. That is really good. It's the wine. My father used to go a lot for the Vino Nero. And that is the north. It's the black wine. It's a really dark, dark grape. It's really good, too. We don't have them south, that one, too. That's what we have in Veneto, really famous, too. Yes, go. You have to ask me something. Do you want to ask something?
Pardon?
Do you want to ask me something? I see you were saying something.
No,
I block
no.
you. Because I know, when I start talking, you that's it. You see why Tony keep me?
I'm just... Marcia, I'm just letting you talk because you have all the information here. So.
I'm joking. What else? Other famous Bucatini. We have, what else? We have so many different plates, really famous. But most everything, Coniglio. We have a famous plate, rabbit. It's a plate we do in the north. And what else? Let's see.
I know polenta is a northern dish in Trentino. Is it something that you eat much there?
Polenta is like a bread. You're right. I can't believe I didn't thought about that. Now you say that. How we say in the diet, we have uze e polenta. It's mean uccelli e polenta. That is a famous plate too that we do in Vicenza. Venice have fegato alla polenta with the fegato, how they do in Venetian with the polenta. It's really good. Fegato is liver. That is the other one. So that is the famous plate too. You're right. Polenta, we use it like a bread. Where we have white polenta, yellow polenta, and you know, you can fry it, you can grill, you can do so much with that. That is true. It's something we use a lot.
I love polenta. I have
you
a good friend.
Huh? You're good. You did your homework. You're good.
Well, I have a friend who, and she actually was my first guest on this podcast series. Her relatives, her ancestry comes from Trentino, Alto Adige. And so she fixes a lot of polenta. And now her husband's fixing it too. So I've had a lot of their polenta and I've heard a lot about it. So I just was wondering if it came that far south, you know, where you were eating it. So
Yeah, it comes from Veneto too. Polenta, yes. It's really famous from that's we call us polentoni.
Ah, really?
Polentoni because it's from us. It's the one all the time. Well, like I said, Trentino Alto Adige is still Veneto. It's still Veneto. See. Yeah. That's the thing.
Polentori, huh? I'm gonna write that down.
I can tell you some things really famous. Okay, I'm gonna say in Italian, then I'll try to see if I can say in English. We say this. Veneziani gran signori, Padovani gran dottori, Veronesi tutti matti, Vicentini magnagatti. Do you know what I just said? It's an antique poem. They say every city of the Veneto, the big one, and they say about who we really we are. So if I say Veneziani gran signori, it's Venetian, the great lord, the really signori. Great lord, right? Because he was the healthy one, they were rich one, right? That's the one. And then we had the Padovani gran dottori. They talk about the antique university, the first one we have. It was in Padova, so the lot of people they have a degree in there, they started from there. So gran dottori, big doctor, the really great doctors. That's what they say, Padovani. Then we have Veronesi, all crazy, but they don't say because they're crazy like crazy, but they're because they're happy, they're really good people, they're really the personality they have is silly kind of type. Okay, and then we have Vicentini, that's us, eat cat, magnagatti. That is say because history in the time was we did have a really poor, hard time to find food. They say that we did eat cat one time in the past. So now, even my mom, when she go buy the rabbit, she always asks for the head because she will not buy the without a head. So I don't want to eat a cat. So that's one thing I want to make sure you know this. It's beautiful. It's an antique poem. And a lot of people, there's so many. There's talk about Bergamo people and all from Nord. That all those famous quote that you should know.
Thank you. I'm going to ask you to write that down and send it to me.
Okay.
In Italian.
In Italian. Got it.
So anyway, well, Marcy, it's been so much fun having you. I'll have to have you back again. You have a lot to tell us.
Oh, I love it. Every minute. It was so much fun. And I want to thank you for what you're doing. It's beautiful. It makes me feel like, I can see how much you love Italy, how much you miss it. You are Italian, more than a lot of Italian, the way that you are and everything. So it's beautiful to see that you follow and make sure that, you know, talk about us.
Well, you know, they say that you don't choose Italy, Italy chooses you.
That's
so
right.
So if you're not Italian, you become like an Italian.
Yes. You're right.
Okay, well, thank you again, and arrivederci.
Ciao, a presto.
Well, that's it for this episode of Italy Inside Out. This podcast is sponsored by Travel in Italia, leading small group tours on the mainland and islands of Italy. You can find more information at www.travelinitalia.com. If you enjoyed listening, please subscribe to this podcast. And until next time, arrivederci.